Welcome again, everybody. This is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, along with Roger Bauer, Social Media Ninja. We're back after a little short hiatus, being pulled in all these many different directions. I think even Louisville maybe won a game or two, didn't they?
Not in football, but in basketball, yes.
All right, well, that's all that counts for the moment. Huh? I'm happy to say I'm 7-2. Happy to say I'm 7-2 in my fantasy football league. Talking some smack, baby.
Yeah,
gotta love it.
Say, for losses in football, that's good right now, so we can get rid of the coach. So, not really complaining about it.
All right. So once again, you're infringing on my territory. So, give us your definition, and I'll then give you mine.
Well, before that, I want to talk football one more little moment here. Guess what one of the players on U of L's football team said last week that was extremely offensive?
He said that Louisville football player saying something offensive. Probably said something like he doesn't like okra in his gumbo.
No, he said, and I quote, "Wins and losses are just for the fans."
Wins?
I would walk him to the door if I were coach. That would be the end of him.
Wins and losses are just for the fans. Yeah, that ain't right.
No. And that should get your scholarship revoked and go do something else. Go play in a sandbox or I don't know. Yeah. Don't be playing on a football team, though.
Just ain't right.
All right. So today's word is appear. It is
appear.
A verb. To come into sight, become visible. Hey, Wes, why don't you come up here and help me work on this Southern social media?
Why don't you come on up here? Like fixing. My college roommate was from Des Moines. And I'd say, I'm fixing to do something. He said, you're not fixing to do anything. He said, you're about to do something. I said, I'm fixing to whoop your butt. He got done correcting me then. Yeah, and this boy from Des Moines, Iowa, right, he put sugar on his grits. Said, son, if you put sugar on your grits, you got no right telling me how to talk, eat, dress, do anything. You understand
That's
me?
That's right.
You heard me?
I heard you.
All right.
I think it's bad that he's starting off eating grits, but, you know, I digress.
Oh, don't make me slap you down.
I'm not a grits person.
Ain't nothing better than hot grits, melted butter, a little salt and pepper.
And he put sugar on it?
He put sugar on his grits. That just ain't right.
It don't sound good.
Man.
All right, so today's top topic for our Southern social media is top three reasons why social media is still a tough sell. And this is by B.L. Ackman on Social Media Today. And number one, he says, consultants make social media sound scary. Number two is the magic word is sales. Number three is companies worry that cutting-edge consultants won't fit the corporate culture. First off, I think that there are a lot of people out there that, a lot of consultants and quote-unquote gurus that are trying to make social media sound scary and give you all these rules and unwritten things to go by and trying to tell you that it's impossible to measure this stuff, that you got to hire a consultant to help you figure this out. And Wes, we've talked about this for quite a while now, that Southern social media, or social media in general, is just another way to connect with your audience. It's another medium. It's not anything real fancy or, yeah, there's some unwritten rules. You don't want to go in and just spam people. But, I mean, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. You don't want to go in and just start trying to sell your product immediately as soon as you meet somebody. You wouldn't do that at a party or a social setting or the first time you met someone, so you shouldn't do that with social media either. So a lot of this is common sense, but I think there are a lot of consultants out there that want to make it sound like there's so many rules and unwritten ways to offend people, and there's just no way you can succeed unless you hire them, and I think that's a good point that he brings up, but
that's
also
only true with us.
That's right. If you're going to hire anybody, it should be us.
That's right. Otherwise, you will fail. You will suffer.
Because as he says at the bottom of his first paragraph here, or first section, is social media is not rocket science. I think it's very true.
Taking one at a time, it's not. To begin to slowly integrate things, to get as wide a spread and coverage as possible with minimal effort, there's a little work there, you know, to set things up properly so there's not redundancy. Different mediums, you have different goals for different platforms, I would say. Some lend themselves better to link building. Some maybe lend themselves better to just networking in general.
Mm-hmm.
So while you certainly can teach yourself any of this to integrate it all quickly and properly, I mean, there's some work there, brother.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I mean, there's some social media sites that are a lot better for traffic. Like, you can generate a lot of traffic in a hurry if you have a really large Twitter following and you're contributing value, and then you go out and post a simple little link to a page on your website or a squeeze page or whatever it might happen to be, which is a good practice, is contribute value above all. But then when you do share a link to something, then people will take interest because they're used to getting value from you, and they figure that whatever your tweet is about is worth checking out.
Right.
So that's one of the things you can do. Then he says in his second section is the magic word of sales. All companies care about is whether they can make their numbers for the next quarter. Coolness may be the cherry on top, but it's not the goal for most publicly held companies, which this is true. But this, I mean, we keep hammering this over and over and over, is you got to have a strategy when you go into this stuff. I mean, you don't just go in blindfolded. It's kind of like jumping into the deep end of a pool when you don't know how to swim. Learn how to swim before you jump in there. I mean, it's common sense, but a lot of companies don't do that. They see a competitor using social media, or they see somebody within the company that's doing it, so now they want to make it one of their initiatives for the entire company, and you get some executives that jump in that don't know what they're doing, and next thing you know, they're wasting a lot of time with social media, and then a couple weeks later, they just throw their hands up in disgust and say it doesn't work. It's a waste of time, and then you start down that typical path with social media to where you do have to sell it to the executives, whereas if they went into it with a strategy, they would, like Ford did, for instance. We've used them as an example quite a bit. Or Zappos. There's a lot of good examples out there to use. But if you go into it with a strategy, then you can take advantage of it, and you won't be throwing your hands up a couple weeks in and saying this stuff doesn't work, because you'll have milestones built in and goals. And as you hit those, then you know you're moving towards success.
Right.
And the last one is companies worry that cutting-edge consultants won't fit the corporate culture. I think this is one of those things that you see a lot of these social media gurus or internet marketing gurus, and I thank them for this because this is a benefit to me personally. I'm not a suit and tie guy.
Right.
Never have been comfortable putting on the monkey suit and all of that. I've done it. I mean, I think we've all done it to fit into the whatever company it is, and if that's what they require, then that's what they require. But I think that they see a lot of these consultants showing up in blue jeans and a T-shirt and kind of having that, you know, what's up, dude, that surfer-type attitude or that renegade attitude that they don't need to wear all the suit and tie stuff because they're successful on their own, which is true. And I think that intimidates some of the old school executive types. And I've come across these people when just out and about, and you see them in their suit and tie, and they kind of look down at you like, oh, well, you must not be a serious player because you're not dressed in the monkey suit. And I'm looking at them going, dude, you look like an idiot because you're all dressed up. It's after hours. And here I am. I'm comfortable. I'm ready to roll wherever. And you still got your monkey suit going, but, you know,
right,
to each their own. But I think that's where they're worried they won't fit into the corporate culture. And it's funny to bring up a sports analogy on this, but it's funny to me that a lot of the NBA players had trouble with the newly instituted dress code a few years ago. And they're saying, oh, it was racist and it was prejudice and all this other stuff. Well, if you're part of a league or an organization, they have the right to say, hey, look, this is the minimum requirements for your dress. It wasn't like they were saying, oh, you got to go dress up like a nerd or anything like that. It was just business casual.
Right.
That's much to ask. I mean, these guys are making millions of dollars, and it's too much to ask them to wear a nice pair of slacks and maybe a simple nice shirt with a collar. I mean,
right.
It's really not that big a deal, but if you come across a consultant that you don't necessarily, if dress is really what's going to dissuade you from hiring a consultant, just say, hey, look, man, when you come to deal with our organization, we'd appreciate it if you wore khakis and a dress shirt, or you wore the tie when you showed up, so that way people realize that you're one of us or whatever it is. If that's really the deciding factor, then just address it up front before there's any disagreements or misunderstandings or anything like that. I think that's a simple solution for that.
Well, that's the problem. Anytime you bring in consultants, means the risk that you run.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody knew everything they needed to do, they wouldn't need consultants, right?
Right.
But it's tough to keep up, you know, when you're managing a company. It's tough to stay abreast of things. So it's a big deal. You got to bring somebody in. But, yeah, a company should have their own set of criteria, you know, as far as what they're looking for. You know, one thing I like to ask prospects when I'm working on anything is, you know, what are your three non-negotiable criteria when making this decision? And most people, they don't have them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have criteria. They don't have things written down.
Right.
So, like, what are you doing? Just shooting from the hip? You know, so even when it comes to choosing who you're going to bring in to help, you got to have some, you know, the measuring stick, right?
Right.
You know, what you're looking for.
That's similar to some of the conversations I have at the beginning with prospects and potential clients. Is I'll usually start it off with, where are we going with this? And when they look back at me and say, I was hoping you would tell me, then I tell them we got a little bit of a problem, because if you don't know where we're going with this and you're just going to tell me to decide for your business where we're going with this particular endeavor, it's probably not going to be it's not going to get off on a good foot. You got to know where it is you want to go before you even set out on the journey. Now, I can help clients do that. I can help them decide, okay, here's where I think we should go. But you should at least have some idea before you even call a consultant in of, hey, even if it's something as simple as I want to generate more sales, at least that's a direction we can head in. But if you're just kind of sitting there blindly, well, I don't know, you tell me, then you can think this through a little bit more than that.
Well, unfortunately, most people don't. You know, they spend more time analyzing the which Happy Meal or value meal they're going to get at McDonald's than they do with their sales and marketing.
That's very true, because I got behind a family the other day, and for some reason I just knew. I was standing in line at a little quick-serve Mexican restaurant, Qdoba. I'll get in a plug for them. And as soon as I walked up to get in line, I knew. I could just tell by looking at these people. They had no clue what it is that they wanted, so they had to ask 50 million questions to the guy behind the counter, and it's like, come on, it's Qdoba. There's only about a handful of choices. You can get a burrito, you can get a taco, you can get a quesadilla. Let's move on. No, but it took about 5 minutes just to figure out what to order. So you're right, Wes. A lot of these people, they analyze more. They put a lot more thought into their strategy for food than they do for their business, which is scary.
I know.
All right, so here, the next one on social media today that I'm looking at is John Cass is asking, how do we manage the adoption of social media? And the first question in his first opening paragraph is, who owns social media? So let's talk about that a little bit, because you don't own social media. And I think that's another thing that intimidates a lot of companies, is there's this conversation going on that they cannot take ownership of or necessarily manage. So they don't really know how to jump in there and steer it a little bit, because that's all you're going to be able to do with social media anyway. If people want to get the word out that you're a lousy provider of service or whatever it is, and they're going to get that word out. So if the least you can do on that is attempt to steer the conversation of, you know, hey, we messed up on this particular incident, but here's what we're doing to correct it, then you can start to steer the conversation in a little bit different direction. But worrying about how you're going to own social media, you're never going to get to that level because there's very few people out there that are even considered elite gurus in this stuff. And they've worked quite a bit, put in a lot of hours, done a lot of things to attain that status, and it's going to be tough for a company just starting out to launch themselves into that position. It can be done. It's just going to take some time. But if you're going into it with the mentality of, well, we need to own this social medium or we need to own social media, you're going to be disappointed over the long haul because you don't own it. And it's just like you've said, Wes, it's another medium to communicate with your prospects and customers alike.
Right.
So he's
that
saying,
is it, brother.
Yeah, he's said instead of asking who owns social media in 2010, the question will be how do we manage the adoption of social media across the enterprise? And a lot of times I tell people that come to me about this stuff is there somebody within your organization today that is already doing this stuff on a personal level that's having some success? There's a couple girls I grew up with in my neighborhood that are great with this stuff. And they're not trying to accomplish any sales goals or anything like that. They're just looking to reconnect with old friends, build new relationships. But if somebody were to come to me and say, hey, I really need somebody who's really good with this, I would say, hey, you need to go talk to this girl. I mean, she's doing it on a personal level, but she knows what the hell she's doing. And she's just doing little simple things, but every day she's jumping in there and she'll comment on somebody's photo. She doesn't do a lot of Twittering, but she's great with interacting with Facebook, and she would be a great person to talk to about this. So is there somebody within your organization now who's comfortable in this space that you could leverage to help you further your strategy or your campaign with social media already? That's where you need to start instead of, you know, wanting to become the next social media expert. Find somebody within your organization. Now, if you don't have somebody like that, that's when you need to turn to somebody like Wes or me to help you with it, and we can get you started on the right track. Now, that doesn't mean you have to hire us for the next 70 years, but you know, understand going into it that, like Wes said earlier, you do need some guidance on this stuff because there's a lot to tackle. Instead of looking to try to own social media, be a contributor. Be a thought leader. Use it appropriately, and then hire some people from the outside to help you. But if there's somebody within your organization today, and we can even help somebody who is already good with this stuff, there's some little pointers we can give them to help them leverage social media even further. Because just like this person I mentioned earlier, she's really good with Facebook. Now, if somebody were to go hire her and say, hey, look, we want to bring you in to be our social media marketing consultant or whatever, she would need some pointers on how do I turn this from my own personal stuff to more of a professional approach, and you know, there'd be some guidance there, but it'd be a very easy transition for her because she's already comfortable with, you know, like Facebook or MySpace or things like that. So that would be the first recommendation I'd give somebody. Look within your own organization, see if there's somebody there that's good with this stuff already that maybe would enjoy doing it for your company.
Well, that's interesting. The adjective you use there. Good at this stuff. You know, it ain't stuff, brother. It's a strategery. You know, and there really is, I mean, you can do it easily, right? You can do little tweets and you can write a little blog post and have a Facebook fan page and, you can do all that little stuff. But it's like, you know, it's like the person that says, why should I pay $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 for a simple website? You know, my kid, he builds websites. You know, I'm working with one company. They've grown pretty nicely. But their whole website was built on iWeb. So So built on a Mac, which I'm all for, using their free tool that comes with iLife. So their corporate website is built on iWeb. And guess what? Neither of these ladies have Macs. And this person that was building it, they finally realized she really doesn't know what she's doing. She knows how to use iWeb and put some pictures and add a page and throw some links up, okay? So that's like saying, because I know how to make macaroni and cheese, that I'm a chef, right?
Well, aren't you?
You know, well, I am, brother. I can make some crawfish now. But, you know, just because I'm making mac and cheese doesn't mean I'm the right guy to make, you know, your Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
You know, I'm not the one, you know, to make even a more, you know, important meal, right? I'm not the one to make your wedding dinner, you know. And your website, you know, is as important as, you know, your wedding photographer, your wedding chef. You know, it's that first impression, right? It's going to last forever. So make sure it's done right. And, you know, you're better off spending a little bit more. And I'm not saying you go from, you know, the $100 high school kid to some $10,000 or $20,000 crazy website person. It may not be worth it, but, you know, if somebody can help you for $1,000 to $2,000, you know, build out a nice, graphically pleasing, interactive, interconnected, you know, internal link structure, sitemap, yada, yada, you know, 5, 8, 10 pages, 15 pages, it's worth the money.
Mm-hmm.
Same with social media. So you careful on your adjectives there, brother.
I'm getting scolded by the whisper.
Not stuff, man. Not stuff.
Well, you know, that's the slang that we're using, but I hear what you're saying. And I was going to say, to add to that, like you said, website is an extension of your brand. It's the first impression people are going to have of you. I mean, you hand over a business card in a person-to-person meeting. What's the first thing usually people will go do? Well, they'll go check out your website to see, you know, what's this person all about. They'll do a little of their own digging to see, you know, are you a legitimate business? Are you a legitimate person? Are you somebody that they can trust? And the same goes for a squeeze page. I mean, we do a lot of microsites and squeeze pages to build leads and help grow our business. Well, the impression that we want to give people is that we're just what we are. We're professionals. We know what the hell we're doing. And we're not some fly-by-night, you know, hey, let's set up a web page and we'll just, any old thing will work. I mean, we want these squeeze pages to look professional. We want them to convey the message that what they're going to get when they register for our free ebook or our webinar or teleseminar or whatever it happens to be, that they're going to get good content in return. They're going to benefit from this. And you can't do that with a website that looks like it should have been launched in 1987 as one of the first websites out there that has, you know, these nasty, clunkety old links and poor graphics and things of that nature. And I come across squeeze pages all the time that I just chuckle to myself because I think, well, I could really help this person. But most of the time they think that their website's good enough. And,
yeah,
you know, if it's doing what they want it to do, great. But think of what more they could do if they did have a more professional appearance, or if they did do some just little minor tweaks to rearrange some of the content on their website to where they would capture or convert more of their visitors into leads. Little simple things like moving the opt-in box to the upper right as opposed to having it at the very bottom of a long, lengthy page. I mean, things like that, and moving it above the fold, as they say. Just think of what they could do with that squeeze page or lead capture page or whatever it happens to be, or something as simple as just putting some shading behind the opt-in box to make it pop a little more. I mean, just little bitty things like that that, you know, people that do this on a regular basis can help you almost instantaneously by looking at it going, boom, I would do this, this, and this. and can help your business grow that much more. I mean, I've got some friends that crack up because they'll be like, hey, I want you to check out this site. I'll go check it out, and I'll immediately point out about three or four things they could do to either increase conversions, better appeal to their audience. It's simple stuff. It might be something as simple as, well, I would change the heading from that weird orange color to maroon because you've got maroon throughout the site everywhere else and it kind of clashes. Or, you know, you've got your opt-in box at the bottom of this long-ass form. People aren't going to scroll all the way down there to fill out your form. So put one up at the top right. Be something as simple as that. It's, you know, there. I get a lot of those hot seat requests on the fly because people know I'm going to pick it apart, but it's going to be in a constructive way. It's not going to be, oh, that's a real ugly site. I don't really care about that. It's just like, is it going to do the job that you want it to do, and how can we improve that and make it do an even better job?
Right.
So that's what people get when they hire people like us, Wes, is they'll get somebody who's done this before. They sit in our first rodeo, so to speak, and we can look at something that from a different perspective and give some honest, constructive feedback in very little time because we've done this before. It's not like we're looking at our first squeeze page or we're looking at the first social media campaign ever to come around. And it's worth some money to get that feedback. Even if you don't hire Wes or me, then think about somebody to come in and look at your business and give you a fresh perspective.
Yeah, I love the old saying, you know, you can't read a label from inside the bottle. You know, that's one of the reasons we do this podcast, so people can get to know us and know that, A, we're competent, B, we're not jerks, you know, C, we're not rip-off artists, we're not going to come in and charge for things, you know, for value we don't provide. You know, we really do want to see people do better, you know, and succeed in whatever their venture is. You know, take the time to listen, and don't be afraid to call us. I mean, you know, we'll pick up our own phones most of the time. You know, the things that we know, for the most part, we know them because we made the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're not going to laugh too much at you, and if we do, it'll be one of those understanding laughs.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, because I had a girl that came to me that she works for a local bicycle fitness shop, and she wanted me to look at her website, and I looked at it, and the first thing I noticed is they had, well, first I asked her, I said, what is the highest ticket item that you sell? And, well, she told me, she said, oh, it's the corporate fitness gear. And so we have that on the far right, and you have the contact button as the first option there. I said, are people clicking on that to contact you? And she said, well, not really. I said, why don't you move the contact to the far right, swipe that out with the corporate fitness, and then move your next most expensive item right by the corporate fitness. She said that helped increase sales, just moving the navigation on the top. A little simple change, which all you have to do is just go in there and tell the page order of what you want. Instead, it increased sales. They got a lot more inquiries. People are actually asking about the corporate fitness now, whereas before they were getting very little traction on that page. So just something as simple as that can make a dramatic change in your business. And if you just think because you read in a book or whatever, and Wes, you like to make fun of the guys in the, what are they, the plaid jackets with the little felt, what is it, the tweed jacket with the...
plaid jackets with the elbow patches and the corncob pipe.
Yeah, what'd you call them,
Academicians, baby.
That thing. I can't even say that.
It took me 2 years to learn how to pronounce that one properly.
But you go to those types that sit in a classroom all day and read academic books, don't really do a whole lot in the real world. They're not going to look at your website and immediately pick it apart and say, I would do this, I would do this, I would do this. Give it a test, see what, do one thing at a time, see what works, see what doesn't. They're not going to even think about that type of stuff because it's not in their textbook. It's not in their bubble. I mean, that's a thing Wes and I've tried. I mean, we've tried so many different things. I mean, hell, we're always calling one another saying, what do you think about this? What would you change? And we do this. So the chances are when we go to one another with a project and say, well, what do you think about this? well, we've already got some things incorporated that are going to make it convert well, that are going to make it appealing to the audience, and so forth. So imagine the brain trust that you gain by hiring someone such as us. Anyway, I didn't want to turn this into a plug, but it's one of those things that we see.
Hey, stop feeding my family. Keep plugging, baby. I'm looking here on Twitter, man. Goodness gracious. The chief technology officer for Cisco has 1.2 million followers.
Really?
Must be a smart lady. Goodness gracious.
Huh.
Padmasri Warrior. What a cool name. Warrior. Padmasri? I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Cisco Systems Chief Technology Officer. Let's look at that. Big old company like Cisco letting their people have their own tweets.
Right. And I think IBM's done that as well, whereas a lot of people were shocked that old stodgy Big Blue IBM, yesteryear corporate world would encourage such a thing, but they realize the conversation's going to go on whether they're involved or not, so they might as well get involved.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're seeing with companies like Cisco and Dell and HP, a lot of Microsoft even, that, you know, at first kind of you would think that they would resist this type of thing because they've got their corporate secrets and their proprietary intellectual property and all this other stuff that, oh, my God, somebody's going to discover our secret sauce. Well, Wes, we've told people before, people ain't buying your secret sauce. I mean, a company's not going to come buy you out because you have a secret sauce. They're going to come buy you out because you have a large customer list. They're going to come buy you out because they see growth opportunities with your existing customers or your existing prospects. They're buying your list. They're buying who you're connected with. So social media is becoming an even bigger asset for these companies, even though they may not make $1 trillion off social media every year. The fact that they've got people out there generating followings and building lists and connecting with people on a personal level, that's worth a lot of money to that company over the long haul.
Yep. Build the list, baby. The value's in the list.
That's right. We'll be coming out with a little List Samurai product here not too long. I'm still tweaking the ebook. I guess I need to follow my own advice and quit trying to create a damn Picasso and get the thing out there, but there's just some things that I want to share with people within the ebook that I think's necessary, but also I've seen a lot of other ebooks on list building, and they leave out some of these things. And even if you don't end up enrolling in the training program, which obviously that's the goal, is to get you into the training program, but if you don't enroll in that, you'll get enough valuable stuff out of the list building ebook to where you'll understand that this isn't the first rodeo or the first dance or the first supper for guys like us. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, you do have to partner up with folks that have been there and done that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no reason to just keep banging your head. You know, it's figure out a better way, you know, from those that have been there. Pay them the money, get there quicker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple, brother.
All right, so here's one from Tom Pick on social media today, and this was a post from yesterday. It says, will content marketing kill trade publications? He's talking about, you've said it several times, Wes, it's all about the content. Content is king, and you'll see that anytime you start to dig into some internet marketing-related training, advice, tips, tricks, techniques on down the line. And I think what we are seeing is a shift in how people consume their media. It's not the old, let's go pick up a magazine, let's go turn on the television, watch the news, let's go pick up the newspaper, let's have our little business publication weekly come to me so I can get caught up on what's going on in my industry or my market or what's going on in the world. It's with social media, it's 24/7, it's always on. All you got to do is really go on to Twitter, sit there for, if you got enough following or enough people that you're following, and watch what they're talking about. You'll figure out what's going on in the world right now. I mean, it's real time. It's not one of these, oh, well, I got to wait till tomorrow to find out yesterday's news. No, you find out today's news today. Oftentimes,
well,
you oftentimes you find out tomorrow's news today.
Well, that's true. I think there'll always be a spot for print.
I definitely agree. But I think it's the print medium is figuring out how to marry both, the online and offline. And there's a fine line. I think more of the print is going to be educational and stand the test of time type content as opposed to let's report the news, because that's already being done online. And it's so much easier to report real-time news real-time with a medium like a blog or Twitter or whatever, a status update or wherever it may happen to be. Same thing with events. I mean, yeah, you can advertise an event in a print publication, but it's a whole lot easier to go online, put it on your blog, send out a tweet, send out a status update, go on to Facebook, MySpace, on down the line, LinkedIn, and share with your following, people that are already paying attention to you anyway, that already have awareness of you, about this event or whatever it may happen to be. It's a lot easier to reach those people that are already inclined to take you up on your offer than it is to wait for, I don't know, there's a local print publication that I often submit articles to. It takes 3 to 6 weeks for the article to come out.
Right.
So if I were going to do something timely, that ain't the medium, because by the time they print it, it's going to be too late. But if it's something more educational or a life experience type thing that I learned from, how I did this, how you can do it too, that type of thing, then print is a great medium for that, because people still want to carry around that physical object, and without getting too crude or whatever, they need some material to take into the bathroom with them, or while they're sitting there at the doctor's office, or while they're, I see a lot of people doing this and it drives me insane, but people do it, so I can't really knock it too much. While they're sitting at a stoplight, they may pick up a magazine and look at something to be entertained for that 2 minutes that the lights are in, or that they're stuck in traffic. I mean, I'm sure in L.A., where you're at, Wes, or at least nearby, people have always got something to read or something to keep them entertained, because if you're going to get in a traffic jam that's going to take an hour and a half to get out of, well, you got to be doing something. So print still has a place there.
Right. Well, it always will. I mean, it's
because
you know what? You can get overwhelmed with all of the feeds and everything else, and it's nice to just unplug. Grab a glass of wine, cold beer, nice stogie, sit outside in the patio, and read and take notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something to that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I tell people, and I think I get this strange look when I tell them this, is when I first start meeting with prospects, we'll go over the social media, we'll go over websites, we'll go over squeeze pages, we'll go over list building, we'll go over search engine optimization, on down the line, and then I'll usually ask them, what are you doing with print? Well, I didn't call you in to talk about print. You don't neglect print, because it still does work. I mean, you'll see a lot of the internet marketing gurus, and this is the secret that they don't share, is they still use print.
Even
the big, you know, super mogul, make $1 million in a day type internet marketing gurus still use print to attract traffic to their websites, to build lists, to further their relationship with their list. Because you think about it, you get, I don't know, how many emails do I have here that are unread? I've got 1,720 emails unread in my inbox right now. I'm never going to get to those. And some of those may be offers. Some of those may be spam. Some of those may be, just informational type things. I always read the ones that I believe that are important, so I'm going through, weeding those out. But when you get that postcard in the mail, or you get that letter from somebody, I'll give an example. I got a letter from Frank Kern last week, which I've already bought as Mass Control, and I've got all that stuff and bought some of his stuff. But I opened the letter, whereas he sent me some emails that I haven't opened. So
Right. It's
another medium to reach your prospects and customers and communicate with them, and having that physical piece of paper. Whereas, think about it this way, you send somebody a postcard announcing an event that's coming up in, let's say, 6 weeks,
They may not do anything about it right then. They may not take the opportunity to go register for the event while they've got it, while it's fresh in their mind. But they might stick it on the refrigerator. They might put a little magnet on there and stick it up there so they remember it. Or they might take it with them as they go to work or whatever it may be. So print still does have some sticking power, and it may follow people around. So it's still a good medium for things like that.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think print's going anywhere, but I think the trade publications and newspapers, magazines, things of that nature are going to have to figure out a way to marry online and offline media to continue to be relevant in their space.
Well, here's the beautiful thing. I like seeing these one-sided, uber-liberal, hidden, almost non-hidden anymore agenda entities like the New York Times get brought to their knees because they produce crap, okay? Social media, broadband internet, the information age, moving into the recommendation age, is making people produce valuable content, you know? And so if you don't, people won't buy your junk. So, you know, I'm excited to see that. So that's why I still say, you know, there's going to be always a need for print. But I think you'll see the quality get better because people are going to be so much more selective with what they buy, you know, because they have to. There's so much out there. And so I like seeing what's going on. Because people know the truth when they hear it. And now with all these choices in social media, you know, there's no reason to just get your news, your information from the three channels that would just force feed you their impression of the news.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? I agree, and I think it's good to see that, you know, a lot of the ones that look down their nose at this whole social media and online interactions and everything else that are now, just like you say, being brought to their knees because they poo-pooed it when it first started. And, oh, that'll never be a mainstream medium for people to consume their daily content of news. Well,
right.
Guess what, pal? The day's here, and they got dead aim on your business, so you better figure it out quick. And if you still want to look down your nose at it and try to be the old traditional stodgy, slow to react, slow to act print publication of yesteryear, we'll see you in Chapter 7 or Chapter 11, whatever it happens to be. We'll just see you on down the road. You can go ahead and fold your tent and go on about your way and continue to hold on to that viewpoint.
Right.
And it's funny that I almost partnered with a couple guys, and one of the guys that was just – he was just so yesteryear in his approach and so intimidated by social media, and I kept thinking to myself, and I mean, my gut told me this at the beginning, that was probably not the person to partner with long term because they didn't see it, and
yep.
They kept thinking that newsrooms were going to be operated the way they were in 1980, that television stations are going to continue to be run like they were in 1980. That just isn't the case. I mean, if you really still think that things are going to return to those days, you better wake up because this stuff's not going away, and the ones that figure out how to marry the two mediums, media, whatever, I don't know which proper way to talk about that, but whoever can merge the two media together in a nice, cohesive manner without being too stodgy about it will be the ones that win.
Yeah.
All right, so the last thing I guess we can chat about today is my buddy Jason Falls here in Louisville, Kentucky. Getting a plug for him. He's the social media explorer, and he's got a post on socialmediaexaminer.com. A lot of long words there, but Social Media Monitoring 101, How to Get Started, and his first heading within the article is social media monitoring is listening.
Right.
You can use search engine technology, social media monitoring tools to scan the internet looking for documents that contain keywords you select. And Wes, we tell people all the time, if nothing else, set up a Google Alerts. Set up an alert to tell you when your keyword's mentioned or
right.
a competitor gets talked about or somebody produces an article, whatever it happens to be, so you can stay up on your industry, stay up on your competition, stay up on your own company. I mean, if people are out there talking about you, you want to know about this.
Right.
And that's a free tool. So, I mean, it's not like you got to go out and spend a bunch of money on that. Twitter's another thing. You can monitor Twitter on a regular basis. Just listen to what's going on. You don't have to go out and tweet 100 times a day to get a benefit out of Twitter. You can just go out there and monitor the conversation, see what people are talking about. You can get a lot of market insight out of this.
Sure. Yep, you can listen, baby.
Yeah,
listen.
Yeah. Pays to listen. I tell people, listen 80% of the time, talk 20% of the time.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And then he's also got in here that paid social media monitoring solutions are often worth the investment. And he mentioned some monitoring services like Radian 6, Scout Labs, and TechRiggy to pull all the conversations together in an organized web-based dashboard and allow you to pull charts and graphs that explain the information with very little work on your part. That's something I think we're going to see more of with social media is a lot of these dashboard applications that you can get a snapshot of what's going on right now. I haven't seen Google Wave. Have you gotten a hold of it yet, Wes? Or?
Yeah, I've been playing with it a little bit.
Is it kind of a crude dashboard, so to speak, where you can see everything going on at once?
Yeah, it's an aggregator, so it's got a lot of potential. So pretty cool.
So I think tools like that are going to be more and more prevalent, popular. That's probably the next step we're taking with this whole social media marketing craze. And you'll see a lot of companies that figure out how to aggregate all of these different sites together so that way you don't have to go to 7 different sites to update your status or upload a photo or things like that. So you'll see a lot of aggregation services. I also think you'll see a lot of these dashboards to where you don't have to go to all these different sites to see what's going on. I mean, TweetDeck is that to an extent. Hootsuite's that to an extent. Google Wave sounds like it's going to be that to an extent. But he's talking about more tools that do some analysis on the back end so it can tell you with statistics and graphs and things of that nature what's going on, how effective your campaigns are. I do think that's going to be something we see more and more of because when you see big corporations jumping on board, that tells you that it's here to stay. And they're also not going to just sit around and wing it and hope that they're getting a return out of their social media marketing campaigns. They want to know to the penny, are they getting traction from their social media marketing campaigns? Are they getting a return on investment? And if they're not, they'll make adjustments and adaptations to make sure that they do get that. So that's probably where we're headed. And Jason says that monitoring is only the first step. I agree. I mean, just because you know that you generated $3.01 for every tweet that you sent out over the last month, that is just the first step. I mean, what you got to look deeper than that. What's effective? What's working? What's not working? It's just like anything else. You've got to test. You've got to adjust. You've got to continually analyze and monitor so that way that you do know what's going on. And I'm not trying to make this sound like it's a super complicated endeavor because it's not as complicated as some people might say, but you do need to be paying attention, if nothing else.
What'd you say?
Got to be paying attention, brother.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay, man, well, let's wrap this up, brother. This was
yeah.
You got long-winded. Give you a couple of days off, and you go crazy. And,
yeah, I was going to say, tomorrow we're going
to...
Tomorrow
kinda
we got a...
You did take over my definition. I noticed how you had yours. You never really gave me a chance for mine. What's up with that?
Well, let's have it.
I don't know.
You gave one. You gave fixing.
Well, that was just kind of a tangent. I mean, I just kind of, it fit. So really wasn't a definition. You know what I'm saying?
Well, tomorrow anyway, we'll talk about, I've got a business.com 2009 Business Social Media Benchmarking Study that we can chat about at length, and that may consume most, if not all, of the podcast, because this is a 42-page document that I don't know if I'll print it out or just try to read it online here, but that's something we can chew on tomorrow.
Well, we're going to have to spend some time. We're gonna tax it tomorrow, right? And that's the definition, the tax. It's a percentage of one's assets taken annually by a governing body. If you let them, I swear the government would put a tax on the air. Now, that's the definition. Now, the joke of the day, you know why people in Alabama bury Cheerios in their backyard? They think they're donut seeds. All right. I got to make some calls, brother. I'll make some money.
All right.
Get ready
All right,
for capitalizing on the conversation tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. How do people get involved in that?
Well, it's a live workshop, so by the time they hear this, it'll be too late. But it's here in Temecula.
Uh-huh. Well, if you want to get in on our webinar from a few weeks back, that critically acclaimed webinar, go to it's why only 5% of marketers make money with social media. If you go to marketingvirtualseminar.com, share your first name, email address, you can get access to that, no charge. It's about an hour long, learn a lot of good stuff about social media. If you want to get involved in Wes's 20.1 Facebook tips, go to thesaleswhisperer.com, upper right-hand corner. First name, email address. You got it. Doesn't cost anything. Really good.
Don't cost nothing, but be sure and check out Social Media Mondays. So that's coming up. We've already begun it. So $47 every single Monday morning. Get you hooked up, social media.
All right.
So, this is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, Roger Bauer, Social Media Ninja, signing out.
Talk to you all again tomorrow.